Michaela closed her eyes, muttering to herself, trying to recall anything that could help. Despite the fact that Mildred had rendered her unconscious earlier, if their positions had been reversed, the spiky-haired healer felt that she would have done exactly the same thing. And she was tired of living in fear of Ethan and his regime. Most people didn't give a shit as long as they could eat well and live well, which the Hunts enabled them to do. But she had had enough of it all. If there was a time to change sides, it was now. The companions had given her the courage to do this, even if they were hopelessly outnumbered. Of course, she didn't expect any of them to believe her, and she wouldn't have wasted breath in telling them. She was truly trying to remember what she had seen in the Baron's palace. It wouldn't come, but it wouldn't matter. The door suddenly crashed open, and 5 Sekhmen barged through. They were led by Grey Horse, his dreadlocks swinging from the momentum. Janna was among the other 4. They had hand blasters ready to fire.
Don't move a fucking muscle, any of you. You're all gonna follow me, now. Don't fuck around and you won't get hurt.
What about JB? He can't be moved. Right, Michaela?
The young healer looked at her apologetically.
No, but it doesn't matter what I say. They'll move him anyway.
That's right, bitch. You're a bit too friendly with this bunch for my liking.
Shut the hell up, fat ass. No one speaks unless I say so. You two.
He pointed to Doc and Christy.
Take him and bring him with you. Where the fuck are One Eye and the White Boy?
Why, to whom do you refer?
Show him what it means to be a smartass around here, Jono.
The fat man smiled sadistically and stepped over to where Doc stood. A backhand swipe with his blaster hand caught Doc across the mouth, splitting his upper lip. Doc grunted in surprise and stumbled, helped to the floor by a blow to the back of his head with the butt of the blaster.
No, he can't fight back!
Michaela started toward the old man, but Grey Horse trained his blaster at her.
Guess we know which side you're on now.
The companions and the young healer stood and watched helplessly, while the fat man kicked the prone Doc repeatedly in the ribs before stepping back.
Get up, you old fuck! You gotta carry 4 Eyes out of here.
The white double doors leading into Baron Ethan's quarters came into view as both Ryan and Jack moved quickly down the corridor. They could see people moving in the daylight beyond the corridor walls, but there was no sign that they had been noticed and marked as hostile, and no sign of any Sekhmen coming to intercept them. Ryan unholstered his Sig Sauer and chambered around.
I'll take the doors, cover you. You wreck the room.
Jack nodded, and noting that blasters were now an option, took out his Colt Python. He allowed Ryan to get a few steps in front and prepare to spring as the one-eyed man booted open the doors, the force from his powerful leg muscles ripping the lock from the wood of the doors as they sprang apart. As Ryan advanced, Jack somersaulted into the room, keeping low, moving fast, and seeking shelter. He came to rest behind a chair and checked the area, while Ryan stayed in the doorway. It was an absurd situation. The room was empty apart from the Baron, who was seated behind his desk, studying yet more papers. He looked up mildly at the intrusion, seemingly unconcerned.
Gentlemen, I've been expecting you. I do hope you haven't done too much damage to those doors. And by the way, I also hope that you haven't chilled too many of my Sekhmen.
Only 2, and only because they got in the way.
Ryan walked into the room and kept his blaster trained on the Baron.
Jack, check that we're alone.
If I wanted to have you chilled, you'd already be dead. But what would I gain from that?
What indeed?
Ryan walked up to the desk and put the muzzle of the hand blaster under the Baron's nose.
But then, profit is the word that matters here, isn't it?
Isn't it always? The only way a Vill survives and a Baron prospers is if he makes jack, trades, goods. It has to have something to trade, you must realize that. I'm assuming, of course, that you now know what we have to trade or sell.
Yeah, I know. And I also know that your Sekhmen have infected JB. You think that'll make us just go along with your plans?
Ethan calmly raised a hand and pushed the muzzle of the hand blaster away from his face. Ryan had to hand it to him. He was a pretty cool customer.
Unless you want him to buy the farm without putting up some sort of fight, yes. And I don't think you're the sort of people who could do that.
Ryan stared at Ethan with a confidence that he didn't feel.
It won't work. Mildred knows about the sort of shit that you put into JB, and she knows how to fix it. Your healer has told her a lot.
Yes, I thought she would. I've suspected for a long time that she isn't what you might call a staunch supporter. But doubtless she would also have told your Mildred that not everything that we salvaged from the old city has been stored in the hospital. don't you think that I would have to be extraordinarily stupid to have infected your friend with something that could be easily remedied?
Obviously not. But if you don't hand it over, then I'll blow your fucking head clean off your shoulders. And don't think that I won't enjoy it.
Ryan, Sec approaching.
Ethan grinned, smug and self-satisfied. For a second, Ryan thought it would be worth firing just to see that grin smeared all over the walls. But he couldn't.
You don't know what the infection is, and you don't know where I've stored it. Chilling me won't help you. In fact, although you might be able to find the antidote eventually, the time it would take would likely prove fatal for your friend. Can you risk that? And that's after you've had to fight off my men, keen to avenge my death. I don't think I have anything to fear, do you?
Ryan knew he was right, but still kept the blaster trained on him, unwavering. Jack was facing the door from which the approaching Sec could now be clearly heard. He had the Colt Python ready to fire.
Ryan, take out?
No. This round belongs to him. But it's not the war.
Jack stepped back, lowering his blaster.
How we know they're not gonna just blow us away?
Wouldn't do me much good if they did, boy. Come on in. They're not trouble anymore.
The doors opened, and a posse of Sec men entered the room, led by Greyhorse and Jono. The fat man was dragging Doc behind him, the old man stumbling and falling. He had lost his silver lion's head swordstick and was covered in blood where cuts had opened from the beating he had received at the fat Sec man's hands. His face was a mass of puffy and split flesh, and from his stiff and stumbling gait, he had been beaten severely about the body. Jono pushed him and the old man fell to the floor. Jack was beside him in a second, checking him for serious damage. The slightly built albino looked up at the fat Sec man, his eyes flashing.
Hey, Doc, you pay double, fat man.
Despite Jack's slight figure, no one in the room doubted his ability to carry out the threat. Greyhorse ignored the albino and spoke directly to the Baron.
Everything okay here now?
He eyed Ryan, who still had the Sig Sauer in his hand, although it was now pointed downward. Ethan nodded, then gazed at Doc.
Why did you beat up on the old man?
Greyhorse shrugged.
He got a little uppity, and Jono got a little carried away.
I said they were to be kept in good condition. Any of the others fucked up in any way?
They're okay. They were in the hospital like you thought. Mildred had just figured out that she couldn't save Four Eyes without our help.
That's good. Then I take it that, like our friends here, they know that they must cooperate to help him.
They do.
That makes beating on the old guy even more stoop. May I have your blaster, Ryan?
The one-eyed man looked at the Baron, surprised. He was in no position to refuse, but the fact was that he would have expected Ethan to just take it, not ask nicely. Confused, he nodded, and temporarily dumbfounded, handed over the Sig Sauer.
Thanks.
The Baron weighed the blaster in his hand.
Nice piece of hardware, actually. Good weight.
He lifted it up and sighted, as though target shooting.
Yeah, real nice.
Jono's face registered astonishment as the shell drilled a neat hole in the center of his forehead. The less-than-neat exit wound at the back, taking a great chunk of skull with it. Still looking mildly bemused, the fat man slumped to the ground.
Shoots real nice, too. Thanks again.
Ethan handed the Sig Sauer back to an astounded Ryan.
See, the fat ass there broke the cardinal rule. I'm in charge here, and when I say I want something done, I expect my instructions to be carried out exactly. I didn't want any of you to be harmed, not for any altruistic purpose. I want you all in perfect condition for my next hunt. Now clear that fucking corpse away, Greyhorse, and get someone to clean the floor before all that blood and brain leaves a stain on my wooden flooring.
He gestured to some of the Sec party who were still standing there astonished.
Bring the old man over to the comfortable seats and put him there. And you and the albino go with him, Ryan. We have things to discuss.
Ryan and Jack followed the Sec men and Doc to the sofas where they had sat less than 48 hours before, what seemed a lifetime ago. Ethan sat opposite them.
You seem, understandably, a little bemused. Let me put this simply. I work with the principle of supply and demand. The people who give us goods and Jack want a good show. They want a hunt or to witness a hunt. and they want blood and variety. The first is easy, the second not so much. So when I come across an interesting bunch like you guys, then I start to think. You're obviously good hunters, and by the same token would be likely to make good prey. But are you going to do that willingly? No, not without some kind of persuading. And what better persuasion than putting a valued member in mortal danger? Your friend JB was just unlucky in that he was the first to break cover. It could have been any of you, although maybe not you two, come to that. You're too valuable. So you see, I get my hunt, the Vill gets its jack, and you get to make your friend better if you play along. Sound reasonable?
Not in the least.
Then your friend buys the farm and you get forced to run or be shot down like jackals. This way you've got a chance. So no, you're not going to say no. You've got to play the odds, even if you're only doing it in the hope that you'll get a chance to turn it around.
Ryan said nothing. The Baron was right, and he knew it.
I'll take that as a yes, then. The hunt is in 5 days when my paying guests arrive. Until then, Michaela will keep JB stable and will administer the antidote when the hunt is over. Your Mildred will assist to ensure fair play.
Ryan wanted to laugh bitterly. Fair play had nothing to do with this nightmare.